Joshua chapter 1 in your Bible. Appreciate you turning over there. Joshua, not hard to find. Got the Genesis through Deuteronomy, and then you hit Joshua chapter 1. And those first five books, so much history. And then Joshua having to do with the history of the children of Israel possessing the land that God had given to them, the promised land. Now, the title of the message is Be Strong, and that's exactly what chapter 1 and verse 7 says. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And down in verse 9 it says that, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. And then down in verse 18 it says, only be strong and of a good courage. That seems to be important. If the Lord says it once, I ought to listen. If he says it again and again, he might be talking to you and I, right? We ought to be strong. And we're going to talk more about what that means in just a minute. I thought about a different title. I thought about Wimp or Warrior, but I didn't like the way it sounded. All right, so let's just stick with Be Strong here. And let me start reading in chapter 1. And now that you're comfortable and settled, I wonder if you'd stand with me as the Word of God is read this morning. Hey, you've been on vacation too much. All right, Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read down verses 1 through 8 pretty quickly here. And appreciate you following along. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister. And that sounds so official and wonderful, like prime minister or something like that. But minister, does anybody know what it really means? It means servant. All right, he was the gopher for Moses. And he's spent now approximately 40 years being Moses' gopher. He's been going for the things that Moses told him to go for. And so Joshua chapter 1, now Moses is dead. The Lord has called him home. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. If I could say this, I don't mean to keep you standing long, but just please be thinking about this. That sounds so normal, so great to us. Yeah, Joshua, it's time. Go on in, bud. Take it. And but think about what that means. Moses, who was perhaps the greatest leader there outside Abraham in the history of God's people, he can't get him over. He can't get him in. And suddenly the Lord says, okay, it's your turn. You're going to lead them in. Go do it. And that means crossing the Jordan. That means taking a bunch of people who've been belly aching for 38 years, wandering around in circles, digging graves for the previous generation. Now that he's going to have responsibility for leading them. That is a mouthful, I tell you. Verse 3, the Lord says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And in verse 6, God says, Joshua, you're going to need to be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. And I believe he said it at least four times here in the book of Joshua, not only for Joshua's sake, but for your sake. And I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know the challenges that are yet to come. But I believe the Lord this morning, if you'll listen to him, he has some things that will encourage you and help you to be strong in the job that he's given you to do. And I encourage you to do that. Let's finish. Verse 7, only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then verse 9, one more time, I know I said 8, but I'm going to 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, have a seat. I just try to think about what it was like for Moses' parents. They're a young couple, and God has blessed them with a couple of children who were born in better times. But the word has just come down from Pharaoh that he's upset because the numbers of the Jews who are slaves in Egypt are growing, and he is filled with fear that one day that kingdom of people that are his slaves in Goshen, that they're going to rise and take sides with his enemy, and he'll have an enemy so large inside of the kingdom. And so he sends out word, and it's just come. Every male baby that is born, to those midwives, he says, you take their lives. The moment you know that baby is a male, I want you to kill that baby. And guess what? Moses' parents find out that they're going to have a baby. And not only that, when that baby is born, perhaps in those moments they thought, well, Lord, in this moment maybe you might bless us with a little girl. I know it's hard for some to imagine, but there was a day when you didn't know when you went into the delivery room. It was 50-50 chance. And they must have thought, oh, Lord, we're so thankful for Aaron and for Miriam, but God, if you just give us a little girl at this moment, this time will pass. But it's a little baby boy that's born. And you know what? The Bible says that those parents were filled in Hebrews 11 with remarkable faith. Hey, they were strong. And because they're strong, here they are affecting the kingdom in Joshua chapter 1. You don't understand how important the decisions and choices that you're making, how God wants you to be a person of courage and a person of strength. He wants you to do, according to verse 7, observe to do according to all the law. He wants me to do all of what his word says. And he wants me to be strong. I think of Joseph, who was a man who had everything thrown at him at once. He understood that his brothers didn't love him. But he did not understand the depths of their hatred for him. When they saw him coming across that field, their father sending him to try to find out why they weren't where they were supposed to be and why they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And by the time they get him, they throw him in a pit, and they begin to have lunch, and they all plot how they're going to kill him. And he understands how each of those brothers, in just a moment when they finish their bread and cheese and water, that they're going to take him and rip him from limb to limb. There's not anything going to be left. And then the traders come along, Midianite traders, and they decide to trade him, each one of them, for approximately a half a year's salary, which would have been about what it was. And they said, man, this is great. We'll get rid of him forever. He's going off into Egypt as a slave. We'll never see him again. And we get a half a year's salary. This is the best day of our lives. And they got rid of him. And he, all the way into Egypt, gets sold into slavery, becomes the trustee over the whole house of Potiphar, and then has a problem with Potiphar's wife. Awful thing. She falsely accused him of something he didn't do, and he gets thrown into prison and then forgotten there for years. But you know what? He was strong in the Lord. He had courage to do what was right at every turn. And God put you on this earth to be strong in the Lord. Now, I notice in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, I believe the Lord impresses on us as far as any stepping toward courage and strength for us this morning is going to start when we understand his timing. Because in chapter 1 and verse 1, you notice that he explains the timing in which he asked Joshua to be strong and be of good courage. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. So God picked the timing in which he asked his servant to be especially strong. And that timing was a time of sorrow. And wherever there is sin, there is going to be sorrow. And as a human being, as you look around and suddenly you experience sorrow and the weight of grief and you wonder, why am I carrying this? It's not fair. Just remind yourself what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every heart has rebelled against their Maker. And God tells us wherever there's sin, there's going to be sorrow and there's going to be loss. But God uses that sorrow to soften hearts. And this morning, wherever I go, wherever I see as a pastor, and you go to minister to people, whether it's in the hospital or the funeral home, wherever they are over in the courts, and you go to minister to them, you find some interesting things. God uses the sorrows of this world to soften our hearts and to make them tender. In fact, Psalm 51 and verse 17, let me just flip over there and read it. David had gone through a tremendous amount of sorrow because of his own sin. And in Psalm 51, in verse 17, he's trying to get it right with God. And in verse 17, he spoke about how God respects and loves in mankind a broken spirit. And it says, Psalm 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. A contrite heart is a tender, pliable heart that says, O Lord, I'm yours. What will thou have me to do? Lord, there's no way except your way, and I'm willing to do your way now. I found out what it is to do the other things, and I want to do your way. He softens our heart, and all of the sorrow makes us serious about him. Most folks are driving through life, and they're not serious at all about the Lord or the things of the Lord. The Bible doesn't stir them. Church doesn't stir them. Nothing that's happening in society stirs it. Most people are, and even many believers are not sober, as the Bible says. In fact, over in the New Testament, you'll find the Lord challenging his people often to be sober. And so the Lord wants us to get serious, and that's what he does. Not only in chapter 1, in verse 1, does he bring sorrow, but he also allows shadows of uncertainty. Well, I'm a control person. I like to see weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead. I like to plan things out. I don't like surprises. I kind of like to be in control. But you know what? God always wants me to know I'm not in control. He is in control. And he constantly has to remind us. And so often in life, he allows some shadows to darken things around us. We feel the sun seems to be blotted out. We can't see the future very far. I can only imagine the shadows in Joshua's heart, the doubt. For 40 years, he's been the gopher for Moses. He knows the struggles of leadership over these people. And now the Lord says, I'm giving you a gift. It's all yours. And the Lord places it upon his shoulders. And I can only imagine the self-doubt. I can only imagine the discouragement. Because Moses always had Joshua. And, you know, when they're coming down off the mount and Aaron has made the golden calf and Joshua's wrong, but he is giving an idea. I think it's maybe the sound of war down there. Maybe they're battling our enemies. And Moses said, that's not what it is. He already knows in his heart that there's some serious problems among God's people, and he's going to go out down there and deal with it. But Moses always had Joshua to talk to, and Joshua had Moses. But suddenly he is alone. And I want you to know something. We have many relationships in this world, and I would treasure every relationship you have. I would nurture, if you're married today, your marriage and your marriage relationship. If you have loved ones alive, siblings, I would nurture those relationships. I would rejoice in those relationships. And if you have a good church and you're part of a good church here, that you would nurture and appreciate those relationships. But I would have you know that God has designed relationships of life to bring you to the one eternal relationship, and that is with him. And all these other relationships on this earth will go away. They will go away. And one day, God is going to look to you to be able to stand alone and to do his will and to do what's right. And here is Joshua, who Moses had Joshua, but suddenly Joshua is standing alone. There's no Moses over there to run things off of. And so he is having to stand alone. I think of Daniel when he was a young man and he had been taken to Babylon to be trained by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wanted a group of people to rule his kingdom as bureaucrats, men that looked like the people of the nationalities that they came from, but thought like Nebuchadnezzar. And the first place that he welcomed them was to a banquet. And when Daniel went into that banquet hall as an Old Testament Jew under the law, he recognized under God's dietary laws, we're not under those laws today, but he was. And he understood that there were some things he could not eat. And he had to stand alone. And God is bringing you to many moments in your life where you will have to stand alone. You will have to do what is right. No one's going to be there to encourage you. I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I think of them almost as one. They were the cohorts there of Daniel. But they're mentioned in that moment where Nebuchadnezzar built the great statue to himself out on the plain of Dura. And when the music started, this gold statue, he wanted everybody to bow down and worship the statue. He wanted everybody to worship him as Nebuchadnezzar. And when the music started to play, there were only three men and all of the tens of thousands on that plain that assembled there who would not. And they stood alone and they stood out. And God says, that's what I've planned for you. And I want you to be strong. And I want you to be of courage. You know, would you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. I don't think I will ever look at this passage quite again the way that we did about 2 weeks ago. We happened to be in Rome, as though that happens every week. But anyway, no, we were there. Church sent us on a mission trip, and we were with our missionaries, Brother Frank Maeda. And we'd gotten kind of separated from the interns and another gentleman from Ambassador Baptist College. And Frank said, hey, I want you to see the prison where the Apostle Paul spent his last days, a maritime prison there in Rome. This was the place where they took the prisoners who were under order of execution. People that went there died. They didn't come out alive. And so we had to go down these spiral stairs, down into the belly of this thing. There's been built over it like three churches over the top of it. But down there in the heart of the earth is a place where the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. It was a warm day in Rome, but it was cold and damp down there in the heart of the earth. And I believe the Apostle Paul said, listen, it's going to get worse this winter. Timothy, make sure you bring me a coat, or I'm going to freeze to death in this cell. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books. The books are the Word of God. And the comfort that Paul sought when he had to stand alone was in the Word of God. And then he asked for the parchments, which were the things that he could write, like the letter to 2 Timothy here, chapter 4. He could write to God's people the great prison epistles. And then he says this down in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And then Paul says in verse 16, I was alone. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Let me read that again. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. And so, hey, he knew what it was to stand alone. I believe God has designed your life so that there are going to be some remarkable moments where you are going to be counted on by heaven to have courage and to stand alone. And God says to you this morning, be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. Now, what helps us is just like what helped Paul there. If you'll go over to Deuteronomy 31 in verse number 9, now you can just flip back. Hopefully you got your marker or something in Joshua. And you go back to 31 and verse number 9, and we find proof here in the Bible that God used Moses to write the first books of the Bible, the first five books. Over in Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 9, it says this, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priest, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, a few months ago, I preached a message out of Leviticus on the Sabbath year. And so remember that was a time where they let the land lie fallow. And as they let the land lie fallow, one of the things they could do is have a Bible conference. And so because they had more time on their hands, they weren't plowing, cultivating their fields. And, and fertilizing the fields. And so what did they do? It says down in verse 11, "Well, all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. Thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law." And so, boy, they had the scriptures. And God has given me his word to help me to be able to stand alone. You're over in Deuteronomy. Would you just flip over to chapter 34? 34 in verse 9, the Lord's going to tell us about something else that the Lord has given to his servant to help him and to make him so that he could be strong in the Lord. Deuteronomy 34 in verse number 9, the Lord says this about Joshua. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." And what's that speaking of? Well, the Old Testament, when someone received God's Holy Spirit, it was different than in the New. In the Old Testament, God's Holy Spirit would come upon a man and do his work through that man. He might leave that man as far as the indwelling of his spirit. In the New Testament, praise God, the Bible teaches that the moment a person gets saved, God's Holy Spirit comes and indwells them, and he'll never leave them or forsake them. That's found in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, where the Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But Ephesians 4 and verse 30 does say, "I can grieve his Holy Spirit." And perhaps this morning, you're having trouble being strong and standing for the Lord because, boy, you are grieving and quenching God's Holy Spirit. You're holding the Lord at arm's length in your life instead of allowing him to be what he wants to be and to guide you and give you what you need so that you can be strong and of a good courage. Now, all right, let's go back here. We've got the timing of the Lord. It's about sorrow. And listen, where there is sin, there's going to be sorrows. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be stress. There's shadows here, uncertainty and self-doubt. But God was calling upon him in this time to stand alone. He's doing the same for us. But he gave him the tools, didn't he? He gave him the scriptures. He had God's word. He gave him the spirit of wisdom, but he gave him something else. And that is a sense of urgency. I can remember, didn't happen often, but every once in a while my father would ask me to do something. And in my mind when he said to do something, I thought, you know, as a teenager, I probably needed to do it, but I would get it in my busy schedule somewhere. I would get around to it. I mean, that was my intent. But I never realized that my father, who had pretty good ears, that he was listening for my feet and my hands to make sure that I was doing what he asked me to do. And when he didn't hear my feet and my hands, he would yell out to me and he would say, "Don't make me tell you again." And suddenly I had a fire lit under me. I had a sense of wonderful urgency about doing what ought to be done. And I find today that we are so laid back in our society that even in good churches and among godly people, we have lost a sense of urgency about being strong in the Lord, about being courageous. And here is the sense of urgency. God told Joshua, "I have a job for you to do. You are going to be anointed of me to lead my people out of this desert. They've been wandering and digging graves for 38 years, 40 years total, if you add the whole thing together. 38 years. You will lead them across Jordan. You will lead them in those great battles, and I will give you victory." And the Lord asked his people one more time. He had asked them that question 38 years before. And 38 years before, they said, "We'll do it when we get around to it. But, you know, we didn't really feel like doing it right now because if we cross the Jordan, we'll put our children in harm's way. And so we would just like to stay right here. Maybe even consider moving a little bit further back toward Egypt where we're familiar." And the Lord said, "I'm sorry, you won't get any more opportunities. And a whole generation, 20 years old and upward, they passed away. And now the Lord says, I'm giving this nation another opportunity. Will you seize this moment? Will you be strong? And will you be courageous? And will you do what I am going to energize and give you the victories? Will you do it? And suddenly Joshua felt a sense of urgency. I see so many believers, and you know where they dwell? In a desert. They never have any prayer answered. They never have a sense that God is actually using their life for anything except that they know if they died, they'd go to heaven. And literally, they dwell in a desert. They never have their prayers answered. They never seem to be getting anything from God's word. It's all a bunch of dry gulch. And the Lord says, I have a land that is flowing with milk and honey. I have a place where you can experience my power and see how that you can conquer in the name of the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to be strong. And I'm going to ask you to have courage. And I'm going to ask you to obey me. And you know, they're just not willing to do that. The Bible says in Romans 4 and verse 20 that we ought to be strong in faith. And I wouldn't doubt this morning that one of the issues that God is asking you to be strong in is just believe His word and then step out in faith upon what He said. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 talks about God's word and strong meat and the need for to be stronger in the word of God. And this morning, without a doubt, if there's an area that God's people ought to be stronger in, it's in taking in the word of God. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's hard to be a person of faith and be stronger in faith unless you're taking in the word of God. Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says we ought to receive the strong consolation of the Lord. That's His marvelous grace. What God orders, He pays for. And if God asks you to expend energy, He'll give you the grace, the energy and power to do what He's asking you to do. And at least to Ephesians 6 and verse 10, which is, just be strong in the Lord. Can you describe today your relationship with God as strong? Be honest. Now, the Lord, you can understand why He cries out to Joshua and He says, hey, be strong. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law. And why He says in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Why He says it down in verse 18, be strong and of a good courage. Let me just mention what the word strong means. Do you know the word strong means to conquer? It has to do in the Bible about conquering. There's going to be some things that God is going to ask me to have victory over. And the number one place is me, to conquer me. The word strong means to cleave. It's to hold on to, which is to have faith. When you want to let go, hold on and wait and give God time and be patient and cleave to the Lord. The word strong means constraint. It means, again, the biggest foe that I'm going to face. I've got the world and I've got the devil. But they're no match for every day, the flesh that I carry around me as a believer. And so I want to constrain my flesh. I want to be constant. The word courage means to be constant. It means to be faithful. Is there any way, shape, or form that you can honestly say that you are in every way a faithful Christian? I'm faithful in my thought life. I'm faithful in my finances. I'm faithful in my attendance at church. I'm faithful in my prayer life. I'm faithful in the Word. I'm a faithful witness to be aware and let God use me to get the gospel to every creature. Well, the word strong means to be constant, and it means to be in control, which is to be freed so that I can be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what the word strong means. Let me read it one more time. Joshua 1 and verse number 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Can I ask you this question, please? I appreciate you getting as still and quiet as you can. Number one, can I ask you this question? If you died today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Look into your heart
You say, well, preacher, I look back upon a time where I joined a church. Or preacher, I talked with someone, they prayed with me, I prayed a prayer, but I don't know this morning. I believe the issue is so important that I would sit down with someone and let them go through God's Word and help you to do what God commands us to do, and that is to examine ourselves and see whether we be in the faith. Make sure this morning that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You may be here this morning. And you say, preacher, I know that I would not go to heaven if I died, but I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know the truth. I believe God cries out to you and He says, be strong, be of good courage. In a moment, we'll be standing to our feet. Heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. And when our pianist begins to play, or even before, sometimes happen in our services here, why not just slip out? Meet me here at the front. Let me, as I see you coming, get you with a person that can take the Bible. If it's a lady, it'll be a lady. If it's a man, it'll be a man. Someone that can carefully go over God's simple plan of salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Help you to know that Jesus died for you, why He died for you, and how to receive Jesus as your only hope of heaven. You can leave this place strong in the Lord with great courage in your salvation. Won't you come this morning? You may be here this morning and you're a believer, but you're living in the desert. You really are. You look around and you realize, you know what? It's not a land that flows with milk and honey. Not a lot of joy in my heart. Not a lot of answered prayer. Not a lot of things that I receive from God. It doesn't have to be that way. There is a place, a crossing over of Jordan. And, you know, in the old gospel songs, that had to do with like eternity. It has nothing to do with eternity. It has to do with getting into the battle for the Lord, enjoying the power of God, seeing God answered prayer, see God protect you, see God provide for you. And this morning, instead of going in a circle for another year, for the rest now we're over halfway through 2018, why not have 2018 become a year in which you are enjoying God's best over in a land that flows with milk and honey? This morning, I urge you to come. Lay some things before Him. There are some issues that God is asking you to have courage in. There are some issues that God is asking you to cleave to Him over. There are some things that God is asking you to have courage to constrain in your old nature. God is asking you to be constant, to know what it is to be faithful. He loves faithfulness. And this morning, He's urging you, won't you come? Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. Thank You for the message. Be strong and of a good courage. God, I pray for boys and girls and teenagers and adults facing all kinds of challenges from a sin-cursed world and nothing out here to encourage us to live right or do right. And every day we've got choices that we're making. Lord, I pray that we'll be strong and be of good courage and do what's right. God, help us. And Lord, I pray for those this morning who they look into their hearts and they're not sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. They don't need to leave here with that doubt. I pray this morning they would leave the desert and come over to a land that flows with milk and honey. The wonderful, eternal assurance. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. May they have strength and courage to step out for Jesus Christ. I know they'll never regret it. God, I pray for believers who need to lay some things aside this morning. I pray on the first note that our pianist plays that they'll step out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us this morning. Help us to be strong. Help us to be of good courage. You'll bless. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.